The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
In for Max today on The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we have a couple of guests for you, including Kendrick Perkins, who's going to join us in about 10 minutes to tell us about how Chris Paul is finally in control of his own dynasty. In 30 minutes, I'll get into the possibility of a seismic move with a star player in the NBA. And in an hour and 10 minutes, Ramona Shelburne will give us the latest on that NBA player, that star player, who could be on the move. But it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's begin here with Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. So let me explain something to you about Giannis right now. I know Giannis takes a lot of grief because we do this thing where we want guys to be who we want them to be and don't accept them necessarily for who they are. So let me explain what Giannis has been up to this postseason, almost under the radar, which is strange to think when you listen to these numbers I've been giving you. All right, check this out. Players with 10-plus, 30-10 games in a single playoff, okay, a playoff run, since 1963. There are four names on this list. Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis has been on fire, okay, in his last eight playoff games. 33, 25, 34, 40, 30, 34, 34, 33 last night. Not to mention double-digit rebounds and certainly a handful of assists per game. So the funny thing about Giannis is that even though he's putting up all these all-time type numbers that I just gave you, is that, again, we try to put people in boxes. And we're doing that with Giannis. And even to a lesser extent, with his running mate, Chris Middleton. Now, Giannis yesterday was at the podium or at the Zoom in the post game. I know we have that audio here, guys. I'd love to hear Giannis just discussing the unbelievable moment, the takeover, basically, for Chris Middleton yesterday. Let's hear from Giannis.
It was freaking unbelievable. Carried the team at the end. Man, and just, you know, being able to, like, he turned the ball over, like, two times. And after that, he was, like, locked in. He was, like, pass me the ball. And we were giving the ball, you know. And after talking the pass, that there's moments that, you know, we know when to set screens for him. We know when he wants the ball. And that was the moment. We were, like, get the hell out of the way. Give him the ball. Take us home, Chris. And that's what he did. And as I said, you know, I talked to him a little bit in the locker room. You know, what I saw today was unbelievable. And for me, it was greatness.
Now, if you're a superstar in the NBA, you have to fit a certain mold, right? Well, you know, MJ and Kobe, they did it this way. So that's the way it has to be done, apparently. Well, look, life isn't like that. Life isn't a one-size-fits-all. Giannis, to be frank with you, in some ways is more like Shaq than he is Kobe. When he's most effective, where is he doing his damage? I'll wait. You take your time here. Oh, I'll just tell you. It's in the paint. He should be living in the paint. Charles Barkley nailed this on TNT really multiple times over the last several years, but specifically here over the last couple of weeks. He said every time Giannis takes a three-pointer, he is letting the other team off the hook. And he's absolutely right. Think about it. If you look at Giannis's three-point attempts in this series, he's averaging two a game. In those previous series, it was like five, six, seven. Giannis, you're just not good at it. We get it. It's okay. Not to mention the whole free throw thing. The shooting portion of what he does isn't necessarily his strength. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't get hot here or there or whatever, but that's not who he is. He wants to yam it in your face every single time, or finish around the rim. Either way, near the rim, in the paint, that's where he does his most damage. So, why does he have to be like the guys before him who played the perimeter? Why does he got to be like Michael? Why does he got to be like Kobe? And, you know, we did this thing to LeBron, too, when he was younger. Particularly the last shot thing. And, you know, LeBron is going to make the right decision. It's not always going to be the right, you know, the last shot. He's not always going to take the shot himself. He's going to do what is best for the team in that spot. And he got criticized for that. LeBron, much like Giannis in a lot of ways, is a collaborative talent. So there's nothing wrong with being a collaborative talent. Why wouldn't you want the guys around you to succeed? And you heard Giannis right there. Hey, man, Chris had it going. We needed to get the hell out of the way and let him do his thing. Take us home, Chris. There's nothing wrong with having that attitude. I don't understand why we have to assign this alpha-beta thing all the time. And I'm going to get into this with Perk in a little bit, because he's big on this. Batman, Robin, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that their relationship, Middleton and Giannis, is necessarily like that. By the way, you know, if you look at their dynamic, Giannis and Middleton, one guy is a more consistent producer in Giannis, right? You know, you heard the stat line I gave you there. The other in Middleton is a little less productive and maybe a little more inconsistent in the postseason as far as his overall numbers, but certainly excels closing out games. He's your finisher. He's your closer. You know, in baseball, outside of, what, Mariano Rivera? Was your closer your best player? No. You had a starter who was your horse and your ace, and then you have a closer. So why can't this be that kind of relationship? You know, Shaq and Kobe was kind of like that a little bit. We knew who was finishing games for the Lakers when those two were playing. It was Kobe. Shaq was doing most of his damage early on in the games. And then in the last couple of minutes, because of the foul trouble issues, Kobe took over. You know, and I know nothing is a perfect replica. I'm not, you know, comparing even their individual talents. I'm just talking about their dynamic. And their dynamic in Giannis and Middleton is finally working. So who are we to criticize this thing? And speaking of criticism, Chris Paul, man, they're playing tonight, Clippers Suns on ESPN and ESPN Radio. He's getting a lot of love right now. But let's not forget that wasn't always the case. For years we heard, oh, Chris is tough to play with, man. Man, he's too hard on his teammates. We've also heard recently, though, you know, not specifically to anyone, but we've heard, oh, these millennials, those Gen Zers, they're not coachable. They can't take criticism. Well, look at Chris Paul's last two stops in OKC and now in Phoenix. These kids he's playing with, they love him. They appreciate him. Think about it if you're Devin Booker or even guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in OKC last year or whatever. It's like having the poster on your wall growing up as your teammate and to some extent your coach. And I'm not trying to take away from, you know, Monty Williams' job, but Chris is like a coach on the floor too. But let's look at the previous stops prior to that. He was labeled tough to deal with. And again, some of that perhaps could be true as well. I do think age and experience can change you some a bit, right? You learn from those experiences, and I think Chris has. But Chris Paul is best when he's in control. If you follow his lead, success will happen. I know our pal PJ Carlissimo, of course, you can hear on all the games here on ESPN Radio, calling these series. He was talking this morning on Get Up about Chris Paul and how he is best when he is controlling everything on the floor. So the problems that Chris may have had, you know, maybe a little bit of his ego, maybe a little bit of the egos of the players he was playing with, because they were peers, or at least were considered peers at the time. Whether it's Blake Griffin back with the Clippers or whatever, or even James Harden with the Rockets. And of course, a lot of bad luck, right? Like Chris has had some pretty terrible luck, including this season where we thought, uh-oh, there it goes. Stinger. It's over. Poor Chris Paul again. Not the case. He's fought through it. And now, get this. Chris Paul has found his apprentice, and it's Devin Booker. Chris Paul, after the game yesterday, said this about Devin Booker. We got a young team with some old souls, especially Book. He's like an old man. He's the oldest 24-year-old I've ever met in my life. The biggest thing, he knows the game. He watches every game, every night, just like me. There you have it. He found his apprentice. And if you watch Devin Booker, not only on the floor, but just his personality, he's up in guys' faces, right? When there's been a scuffle or whatever, going back to the Denver series or in this series, he's right in the mix, defending his teammates, just like Chris would. And you heard him. He watches every game just like me. I watched Devin Booker the other night on SVP. He sounds like a dude who is older than 24 or whatever he is. So after all these years, Chris Paul has found new life, a new running mate, someone that works with him perfectly, seamlessly, and is now on a collision course with destiny. What's that? What's his destiny? The finals, man. He's the best player to never play in the finals. And look, I'm telling you that because I think both these series are over. You got Trey's injury, you got Kawhi's injury, and I'm not trying to take away anything from the Bucks and Suns, but this season, more than any, has been a battle of attrition. So this is the best chance for both of these teams, including Giannis and Chris Paul. And look, I know I'm not alone, and I wrote them off at different points, but, you know, idiots like me, they don't matter right now. It's about closing the deal in this situation. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's go out to the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max today. Our pal, ESPN NBA analyst, Kendrick Perkins, my brother, joining me here now. Now, Perk, I don't know if you were hearing what I was saying. Let's start with Chris Paul. But I think he found his guy in Devin Booker, his apprentice, a young guy who thinks just like him, acts just like him. And I think Chris is finally in control of his own destiny. How do you feel about that?
I believe that, George. I appreciate you having me on. Because listen, you heard Chris Paul after his post-game interview. You know what he told Rachel Nichols, the legend. He said, I do not want to talk about 3-1, having been up 3-1. I have a bad history. You know what that showed me? That showed me that his mind is there, that he wants to close this out. He wants to seize the opportunity. And I believe he will. Look, right, the Phoenix Suns played probably the worst game of their life, and they found a way to win. You know what that showed me? That they're a hell of a team. Because even on their off-shoot night, they found a way to get it done defensively. They found a way to get it in the trenches. And it's led by Chris Paul. He saw that Devin Booker didn't have it going. What did he do? He took over the game and he controlled the game. Whether that was making plays for DeAndre Ayton, whether that was him getting to the free throw line, whatever the case may be, he did what he needed to do to get that win in Game 4. And I believe that he got it on his mind to come in here and lead the charge tonight to close this out in Game 5.
Kendrick Perkins joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. So let me ask you big picture, though, before we finish up the micro here on this series. You know, we talked about Devin Booker, right? You heard me talking about Devin Booker, what Chris has done for him. But you're a big man, Big Perk. Tell me what you've seen that Chris has done to help DeAndre Ayton become this beast that we've seen here this postseason.
Well, you know, listen, I said this before the season started, that DeAndre Ayton was going to have a breakout season because Chris Paul was going to put that key in his back, the same key that he put in DeAndre Jordan's back when he was with the Clippers. We already know that DeAndre Ayton had the athleticism. We already know that his skill set was there. We were just waiting on him to become a dog, a killer, a monster. And that's what Chris Paul brought out of him. Not only that, he showed him how to play with a high IQ on both ends of the floor. If you watch DeAndre Ayton play defense, I was watching him the other night, and I'm like, this is what a defensive player of the year looks like. He was switching out on guard, stand down, giving space, moving his feet. He was pick and roll. He was up on the screens. giving guards time to get over on the screen, protecting the basket, four blocks, going verticality. I was like, oh, okay, DeAndre Ayton has really grown overnight right in front of our eyes. And when he come out in postgame and say, Chris Paul was the best thing that happened for me, I believe every word he said.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, defensively, that was something that we didn't expect for him to come around on for a while, because it takes young guys a little bit sometimes to get good on that end, especially if they're so excellent on the offensive end. Speaking of which, let me flip over, because I've seen you, Big Perk. I see what you're tweeting, okay? I see you on First Take, and you're talking a lot about Giannis and Chris Middleton and Batman and Robin. Why does it have to be Batman and Robin? Can't we just sit here and say Giannis, you know, and I'm not comparing their skill sets or even them as individual players. Giannis is a lot like Shaq. He's bringing you about through 3.5 quarters, and then Middleton is the closer, right? Just like in baseball, you got a starting pitcher who's an ace, and you got a closer who's awesome too. Why can't it just be that? Why do we have to assign Batman and Robin to these dudes?
Well, Jones, you know me, and you know me and you are good friends. We are brothers. It wouldn't be right if Big Perk wouldn't stir the pot. And people don't understand what I'm saying. It's no knock on Giannis. I think Giannis is the most dominant player in the NBA. I mean, when he attacks the paint, no one is stopping him. No, the way that he's able to finish a basket, I've seen a guy finish like that since probably, what, LeBron James and Shaquille O'Neal, to be honest. But when we talk about the closer, when it matters the most. See, when I say that and people take it out of context, I'm really just giving Chris Middleton his well-deserved flowers, okay? Mm. Because I feel like I've been critical of him in the past, and a lot of people has been critical of him in the past. And what I've seen this postseason is that when it matters the most, he embraces that moment. He's a solid killer. Going for 20 in the fourth last night? I mean, look, I'm watching the game, George, and I said, you know what? The Hawks got this game. They got full control of this game. Then all of a sudden, Chris Middleton takes off, and they keep feeding him the ball. And we have seen this time and time again. Go back to game 7 against Kevin Durant. You remember, KD had it going. P.J. Tucker fouled out. Who guarded Kevin Durant majority of that four? Chris Middleton. Who yep. came up with the timely bucket? Chris Middleton. Not a Batman and Robin conversation. You know I like to ruffle the feathers a little bit. You know, make the Twitter world interested, make people feel uncomfortable. But, George, you know you and I on the same page.
I feel you, Big Perk. Kendrick Perkins joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Last one for you, Perk, before I let you go. So Chris Haynes of Yahoo is reporting that Dame Lillard may be looking to ask out of Portland. Now, I know you've certainly had your opinions on this. What do you make of the potential of Damian Lillard leaving Portland?
I think Dame Dollar is a guy who's going to stay. You know why? Because I think he wanted Chauncey Billups or Jason Kidd, and he got Chauncey Billups. And I think what happened was is that sometimes, you know, we may act out of emotion. And Chris Haynes and Damian Lillard has a close relationship. So we know Chris Haynes didn't make that up. So with that being said, I think Dame had a chance to decompress, think about it, and not get involved with the social media and Twitter trolls persuading him to make or say things that he really don't feel, if that makes sense. Because with the coaching hire, he was getting a lot of backlash, right? But all he did was answer a question from what the front office asked him. Hey, who are your top two candidates? And he said just that, Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups. He didn't dive into details. He said, I want them one of those two guys as my basketball coach.
Perk, I got less than a minute here real quick. So you think he's staying, but if he does leave, where would you like to see him if you could pick one spot?
I would love to see Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid pad up in Philadelphia. That would be a sight to see right there. I think that would be the perfect combination, the perfect marriage. Now, you might have to get rid of Ben Simmons, but that would be great for Philly.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, you have to get rid of Ben Simmons in that situation. And honestly, a fresh start for both guys would actually make some sense. Perk, you always making sense to me, my man. Thank you so much for hanging out and taking the time to hang out with me while I fill in for Max today, brother. Appreciate you as always.
George, keep up the good work. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Take care. There's Kendrick Perkins with us here, ESPN NBA analyst. You can check him out, of course, all over the ESPN family of networks. All right, coming up next, let's dive further into this Dame Lillard situation. I kind of disagree with Perk. I didn't have a lot of time to get into that. But I do believe that there is a real possibility that Damian Lillard could be on the way out. And I'm going to tell you a number of spots, not just Philly, but there are a handful of spots I feel like are on the radar. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been waiting to sell? Well, rumbleon.com. You can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. So just use rumbleon.com. At rumbleon.com, they'll give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up free anytime, anywhere. They even finance your next Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, even more if you're just looking to upgrade, okay? So they've got you no matter what it is you need, whether you're financing your next vehicle or your next motorcycle in this particular case, or ATV or whatnot. But again, even if you're looking for more, or if you're looking for just an upgrade, they got you. So see what Rumble On can do for you by visiting their website, rumbleon.com. That's rumbleon.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What's up? It's the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max today. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Thanks to Kendrick Perkins for joining us there a few moments ago. Always love talking to Big Perk. We were finishing our discussion talking about this Damian Lillard situation, which we'll get to here in just a second. And Ramona Shelburne is going to join us at 3:10 Eastern, 12:10 Pacific here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can call us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, Raj is here. Now, Raj, you and I haven't worked together in a long time. I can't believe they're going to let us work together again.
I know.
Who made that mistake?
Well, I think our friend Liam did. He's watching too much Euros, so he isn't really paying attention. Of course, to soccer all across ESPN channels. And they made him say, let us get on here and just have some fun, man. I'm ready.
It is 5-3, right, at the moment, Spain versus Croatia?
That's right. Spain scored two goals in extra time there. So, you know, I'm glued to that as well as watching this. And, you know, we're having a good time. You're watching Wimbledon on ESPN.
I was watching Wimbledon. I'm flipping around now. I just put the soccer on now as well. But I was watching Wimbledon because, you know, we got Americans winning at Wimbledon. I need to see more of this. So,
and you say we got a brother pulling off upset.
Yes, sir.
My watch.
Yes, sir.
Watch.
Tiafo. Yeah, Tiafo is he won today, and he beat one of the top players on the men's side. So it's already.
Sure, it wasn't James Blake.
It was not James Blake, man. What's wrong with
I'm
you?
Go check.
James Blake hasn't played in a long, long time, man. I know what I'm watching. Okay, what's wrong
right,
with you?
All right.
Anyhow, speaking of hasn't played in a long, long time, well, Damian Lillard hasn't played because the Portland Trail Blazers were eliminated a while back. But, yo, is Damian Lillard piecing out here? Now, I know that with Chauncey Billups getting hired, there's been some backlash to that. And people on social media, because that's what social media does, all of a sudden looks for someone to blame as if Damian Lillard is to blame in this situation. Let me explain something to you guys. Damian Lillard and a lot of NBA superstars are certainly very powerful. There's no question about that. However, they're still employees at the end of the day. And the people in power are the ones that make these decisions. So Portland fans directing whatever anger they may have about the situation to Dame, to me, that's not where you should be vocalizing your anger. Right? Or your emotions. Because he's already in a spot where you're thinking to yourself, how much longer can I stay here and make this thing work? It's not like Portland has been some panacea for free agency in the past. So while I understand the motive behind the fans doing what they're doing, and I totally understand it, you know, I don't think that Damian Lillard is the complaint department in this situation. You should take that up with the organization if you have issues with any of that. So I don't believe that's the way you should be handled. Now, look, I know Chauncey Billups. I've worked with Chauncey Billups. And I have nothing but great things to say about Chauncey Billups as a person in my individual encounters with them. I can't sit here and attest for something that happened when he was a teenager, basically. I didn't know him then. I don't know what that situation was like. I know what the public record says. And certainly, on the surface, it certainly doesn't look good. But what I'll say to you is this, is that Damian Lillard, or anyone in that regard, didn't make this decision. The Portland Trail Blazers organization, ownership, front office, felt comfortable enough with Chauncey Billups to make this happen because they believe Chauncey Billups deserves this opportunity. And if we're talking from a purely basketball perspective, that is absolutely the case. There's no question about that. Now, if we're talking about the optics of it, of something that happened in a civil case, I get it. I get the angst there. I'm not trying to dismiss that. But your emotions should not be directed at Damian Lillard, a man who, as I mentioned, is still trying to figure out whether he can create a winner in Portland. So the timing of that, those two separate from each other, obviously, is not ideal. So Chris Haynes of Yahoo reports that story. As you heard Perk say, Haynes has a longstanding relationship with Damian Lillard. And I don't think this will be the reason, to Perk's point. I think that people get emotional. They say emotional things. Perhaps that's not the case. But I don't think it's coincidence that Damian Lillard is looking to get out. I think that this is probably something that's been weighing on him for a while, for the reasons I alluded to earlier about getting guys there. And honestly, that front office, Neil O'Shea and company, have made some mistakes. So if you're Dame, Philly does look nice. And Philly's in a situation right now where you're saying to yourself, maybe it's time to move on from Ben Simmons. That's why Rich Paul was being proactive in that situation. And Daryl Morey said the right things. But that is a deal that could be consummated. How about the Knicks? The Knicks have cap space. They got young players that Portland would want. To me, those are the top two contenders. And then, of course, you know, I'm sure everyone would love to see Dame play with LeBron and AD, but I just don't know, certainly not directly, how the Lakers could make that happen. Now, you know, if you want some machination of three and four teams, I'm not your guy. I'm not the trade machine guy, okay? But I'm sure plenty of people would love to see that. Maybe the Clippers. I mean, we're seeing their situation. Who knows what Kawhi's injury situation looks like moving forward? But Portland's situation is tough. Our Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer, on primetime here on ESPN Radio said this.
It's a difficult path ahead for Portland, I think, to be a competitive team. Because if you look around the West, you figure both LA teams are better than the Blazers, right? You figure the Suns and Jazz are better than the Blazers, right? You figure the Mavericks are better than the Blazers, right? And that's before you get into teams like Memphis, teams like Golden State, teams like New Orleans. You know, you start to go down the list and all in, for Denver. I didn't even mention Denver. Denver's better than them, too. So you're already talking about Portland being the seventh or eighth best team in the Western Conference at best, and that's without really any way to dramatically improve the team.
This may be the opportunity for Portland to hit the reset button, and you can't hit the reset button without trading out something of real value. So instead of looking at this as like, oh my God, we're going to lose one of the best players in the league, sure, there's no question about that. No one's denying that. But you're kind of stuck in purgatory here if you're the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, hey, the NBA Western Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 5 as the Suns host the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on most ESPN radio stations. All right, coming up next. Oh, boy, do we have a sticky situation in Major League Baseball. That's next. George Sedano in for Max Kellerman. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
They're going to do random checks. It's going to be like DUI checkpoints. 8 to 10 a game. Probably 2 for each starting pitcher.
And we might have an issue going on here with Hector Santiago as the sticky stuff police has pulled him over a routine inspection.
I kind of joked around with him moving like if I was going to run away because I know I wasn't using anything besides rosin. You know, what's given to us.
All that sound courtesy of our friends at 710 ESPN in Seattle. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. If you want to hit us up, give us a call at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And we'll get to that sticky situation in Major League Baseball in just a few moments. Don't forget, Ramona Shelburne, we were talking about the sticky situation in Portland with Damian Lillard potentially wanting out. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, and of course friend of the program, will join us at 3:10 Eastern, 12:10 Pacific here on the Max Kellerman Show. Let's get to the phones here for a second because Andre's in Massachusetts and he wants to talk about Dame. Dre, what do you got, man?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Listen, I think the hype for Dame to New York is real, not only because the city sells itself, the Big Apple, the richest city in the world, you know, most population, but I think New York could be in the mix for other free agents after Dame. A little bit of a reach, but I'm still kind of confident. There's some issues going on in New Orleans with Zion Williamson, and he's already stated he likes playing in the Big Apple, and he already has a connection with R.J. Barrett, and they don't have a coach. They have to get it right. This will be his third coach in 3 tries. So I think if you're trying to sell Dame, obviously he's going to need other stars. They're not a complete team. Julius Randle is probably the piece that I would move with a third team. But if R.J. stays and you can fortify that connection with Zion, then now you're talking about not just Dame coming to New York, but a young star or another star to come with him. That's what it's going to take to get any superstar, and I think New York has the possibility to load up on superstars and become a contender. Thanks for taking
Andre,
the call.
Andre, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. Raj, I don't know about you, man. I know you and Max take calls here pretty regularly, and I know Max used to be a Knicks fan, but Knicks fans are thirsty as heck, man, right now.
You thinking that combo right there, him and Julius Randle, maybe combo? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I just think that the Knicks, for the first time, and God bless them, because we needed them to have, we in the NBA community needed them to be good for a change, and they finally are good again. And good Lord, Knicks fans are like, who do we get? Who's our star? They're in good position. They are
in good
position.
Remember, wasn't it Windhorst? Didn't Windhorst say a few months ago, like, the New York Knicks are a destination to big free agents?
They are.
Remember that news came out?
They've got young players, young assets they can move. They've got cap space. I don't think the Zion thing is crazy that Andre brought up. I don't think it's happening, like, right now. But I think Dame to New York is a possibility. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's not. Speaking of possibilities, I didn't think it was possible that Major League Baseball could find someone who would have or get caught with a foreign substance after all the undressing that has happened here, literally and figuratively, of Major League Baseball pitchers. But Hector Santiago, first pitcher to get caught with a foreign substance. Now, he has claimed that all he had on his glove was rosin. All the umpires that were there felt that it was stickier. Their manager, obviously, and Hector was talking about how, look, it's sweat, it's mixed up with the rosin, of course it's going to get sticky, which it very well could be. Like, I'm not going to try to sit here and ridicule Hector Santiago, and I know that's the easy route to take for most people. I'm not doing that because people can be wrong. So they grab the glove, they put it in a bag, in a trash bag or something, and they are shipping it off to be sent to some lab or something to see what the heck is on that glove, and they'll investigate. This thing is crazy, man. I was watching that A's game when Romo took off his pants and his belt in front of everyone. And this stuff is wild with Major League Baseball. It's comedy, but also it's kind of necessary. And honestly, the pitchers, I don't think they have anyone to blame but themselves in this spot. Now, hear me out here. Major League Baseball was at its peak when guys were hitting home runs. We know that. Offense sells, right? The league needed to get that back. Look at the NFL. Look at all the rule changes they've made for to make defense tougher. The NBA has done plenty of things like that as well. Pitchers, now, you, let me explain something to you. Trevor Bauer, Gerrit Cole, and I'll get back to this subject with a little more time in a little while. Pitchers are the sacrificial lambs because baseball needs offense to compete with the other sports. And pitchers got too good at bending the rules, the same rules that Major League Baseball allowed them to bend. Yep, you heard that right. In midstream, Major League Baseball was allowing these guys to mess with the balls and mess with the spin rate and get a little extra grip. And then they decided to change the rules midstream. No, 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 no. We don't like how the lack of offense is playing out. Fans aren't as interested or, you know, attendance isn't necessarily where we need it to be. The viewership, slightly up, but we need it to be better. We need it to be like all these other sports. And the pitchers are the ones that are going to be the sacrificial lambs here. All right, Ramona Shelburne is going to join us in just a few moments. We will chat with her about the latest on Damian Lillard. She also has some news on the Lakers and Dodgers. We'll talk to her about that as well coming up. But, man, do we need to dive into this Major League Baseball situation? We do. We're going to get right into it. Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer, whether you like it or not, and again, it's not your fault. You may be on trial here a little bit. You are going to find yourself in a situation where your teams are going to sit here and say to yourself, say to themselves, did we just get the rug pulled from us here? Are these dudes not as good as we thought or as advertised because of the sticky stuff, the spider tack? Sticky situation indeed. All right, we're back in a few moments. Ramona Shelburne joins us as well.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.